Welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And we, today, are so excited. We're always excited, but this gets personal, I think, right,
this, Jennifer? This is very big. This is big for me, and I'm giddy. So I'm excited.
And today, because we are going to talk about the benefits of physical therapy and exercise in living with multiple sclerosis, and you have somebody to talk about, Jennifer.
I do, and I'm still excited talking about the benefits of exercise, which some people don't enjoy, but I enjoy it because when I was first diagnosed, my very first physical therapist was this incredible woman that we'll be speaking with today. And that's Heather Schoen. She's the Director of Clinical Education of the PTA program at Baker College here in Michigan, in Owosso, Michigan, as a matter of fact. She also has been a practicing physical therapist with advanced physical therapy for the past 25 years. Heather is an intelligent, caring professional that I was blessed to meet when I was first diagnosed, as I mentioned, and receive care right as she began her career. Furthermore, she has been a friend and an outstanding Walk MS team monsters that stand in my team member since the very beginning, and we're super excited. So thank you for joining us, Heather.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure to be here.
Yay. So I guess the first thing that we want to talk about is, you know, exercise is very important. And what kind of exercises would you recommend for people with living with multiple sclerosis?
In general, the same as anybody in the population, just keeping up with strength, aerobic conditioning, stretching becomes very important to help with maintaining range of motion. Specifically, depending on the degree of abilities, you may need some gait training and balance training or retraining. Breathing exercises become important, especially if people aren't able to get up and move around as much. A lot of times that can restrict your lung capacity. So taking some time to do some specific breathing exercises really helps to maintain lung health. Also, a lot of people with MS do have some dizziness, vertigo issues. So we do have specific exercises that are geared towards that type of rehab. And then in general, some things that help with MS particularly are adapted yoga, tai chi, aquatic therapy is really useful for patients with MS, particularly if the water temperature is kept low. You want to avoid any extreme high temperatures, as you know, because that can affect exacerbations of MS.
And I think it's very interesting when you're talking, Heather. You know, I had mentioned that you were my first PT 25 years ago and that you were new to the program. And I think it's fair for our listeners out there. I kind of dove right in there. How did you get involved in physical therapy? And just, is this, I mean, you're talking about all of this and I'm taking it, you know, as I'm sure the listeners are, it's really good information, but why physical therapy? And has it been everything you hoped for?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't imagine doing anything different. You know, even though my role in physical therapy has changed throughout the years, I enjoy the profession as a whole. I got involved mainly through my own experiences. When I was in high school, I was an athlete, which means that I was injured frequently. So I ended up in the trainer's room more times than I would like to admit. And she worked at a physical therapy clinic and just, you know, invited me to come and shadow for a day. And I fell in love with it. So that kind of led me to my career. Also, you know, I had a huge love of science, biology, physics, anatomy, all of it. So, you know, it kind of fit well with my interests as well.
And that's, I mean, I've been blessed that you're doing that. And so it's interesting when Heather, when Dan and I speak to anyone now about physical therapy, we always, especially students that are training to become a PT, we always joke that neuro will become their favorites. And I hope somewhere in your heart that when you're a physical therapy, that neuro is one of your favorites. Patients like us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, one of the classes I teach is a neurological foundations class. And I bring in a lot of, you know, patient cases to them. And the students really dive in and find it, you know, really interesting, especially once they know the science behind a lot of the diseases. I feel like it's, you know, definitely catches their interest. And I've sparked an interest in my students in neuro for sure.
Nice. Then I have a question. It's like, because, you know, when we're living with MS and it's like, you know, I used to run, I don't anymore. And so then it's just like, well, do I even bother to go walk? And it's like, well, yeah, you need to, but it's just like, for you as a physical therapist, why do people and why do patients who have multiple sclerosis, why do we need to exercise? And is that exercise effective?
Absolutely. I mean, there's been multiple studies that show the positive effects of exercise in any population, really. You know, Dan, I used to run too, and I don't either. I can't run anymore.
Well, that makes me feel better. Thank you.
So, you know, in general, you have to, you know, keep active, you know, find ways to become active. You may have to adapt, but it's definitely worth doing because a lot of evidence suggests that exercise helps decrease the severity of various MS symptoms, including fatigue and depressive symptoms. It helps improve your ability to walk and balance. It enhances just your overall quality of life. I think in general, any exercise in any population is going to help improve your mobility. And it also helps improve cognitive function. I know sometimes with MS, you can get a little cognitive fog. And sometimes that helps to decrease any of those effects. And it also helps to decrease the effects of any comorbidities that patients have that increase their exacerbation of MS symptoms.
And for those of us out there that hear the word comorbidity and shake their head and wonder what that is, could you explain?
Okay. So just like any other health conditions you may have, such as heart disease, diabetes, obesity, anything that falls into like an extra diagnosis category.
Okay, thanks. And you briefly mentioned what, you know, you and Dan, how you both used to run and you're not doing it anymore. But I think with exercise, I know when I do any sort of activity, I get like a quote unquote runner's high where you just feel good. And that's probably from all the hormones or I'm not sure. But
your endorphins, yeah.
Endorphins, yeah, that is a good feeling, and I like that. But because you had mentioned that you don't run and Dan doesn't run, and you don't have multiple sclerosis, Heather, but
no.
are there safety issues? Are there things to consider for those of us in the community, the MS community, when we first start with physical therapy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, exercise can be adapted to your ability. And you both know very well that, you know, that can change day to day with MS. And just know that exercise itself does not cause MS exacerbations. But if you overdo it, it can transiently worsen your pre-existing symptoms, such as weakness or visual disturbances, especially if the temperature is too high. So it's important that you're exercising to the appropriate level. One thing that I saw that I was really impressed with is that the MS Society page has videos. Have you guys seen those videos for stretching? They have a strength training video and they have a breathing exercise video that are all adapted to different levels of ability.
That's nice and that's important.
Huge. We'll include like a link to that, then we'll find that page and put it on the show notes for this. That's really good. Thanks, Heather.
I thought that was really well done. I believe that the person that leads it is a physical therapist who has MS. So I thought that was a really good resource for any of your listeners.
Yeah, and being that Dan and I lead a support group in person and we also do it online, we have heard a number of people talk about physical therapists pushing them beyond their comfort. And so I think that to see examples of good exercises or to listen to you, Heather, talk about don't push yourself too far, that can really, you know, save you so you don't feel, I don't want to speak for anyone else, but I know if someone's pushing you and you want to do them proud, but you don't want to pay for it the next day or God forbid 2 days later because you overdid it at physical therapy. So just
exactly.
Go to where you're comfortable.
And there's definitely a guideline that if you need to adjust the intensity and duration of your exercises, if you don't return to baseline within 2 hours of an exercise session. So if you don't feel, you know, back to normal after 2 hours, then you've done too much.
Then see, that's right there, just that 2 hour rule. Because I know the first time I swam, I swam and did aquatic therapy and you can, you know, you're weightless and you feel so awesome, but I was pooped for a long time and I didn't want to swim again. And you don't want that extreme exercise to make you not want to do anything at all. So 2 hours, good rule.
So then Heather, we're talking and it's like, you know, we as non-physical therapy, you know, and instructors, I mean, you do this in physical therapists, we're just like interchanging PT and exercise. And so it's like, what's the difference then in your mind then between exercise and physical or occupational therapy?
Typically with physical rehab, it's performed under the supervision of a PT or a PTA, and that's basically guided, trained exercises. So if you have a specific function that you want to improve, you know, say you're having trouble going from sit to stand, then we'll gear the exercises to that particular function with the goal that you'll be able to independently do that particular activity again. We also do any kind of evaluation on specialized equipment, if any there needs to be any equipment change or something added or taken away, as well as recommendations for assistive devices. And then a lot of it is just, you know, what we just talked about, education on fatigue management and when to know when to rest, those type of things.
And then I had a question that, you know, because you talked about you being, you know, you were a runner, I was a runner, and it's just like, you know, when we went to physical therapy, it was to fix an issue. You know, I had torn something in my calf when I was running. And so you go to a physical therapist because, okay. And his goal was like, okay, let's get this fixed so you can get back out on the course and you can run. And so it's just like, you know, when you're an athlete and you're dealing with an injury, you know, you have like an end goal, you have something measurable. But then when you're dealing with PT as a person living with multiple sclerosis, is there what kind of end goal do we have for that then? I mean, or is it just like we're just trying to sustain and maintain what we have?
Well, I guess most patients' goals are to maintain maximum function. Mm-hmm. So they want to be able to do the things they want to do. They may have to adapt how they do them, and they may have to adapt, you know, the intensity of a particular activity, but you know, we try to problem solve and brainstorm and come up with creative ways to keep people doing the things that they love. If somebody loved to garden, we'll come up with some adaptive equipment. We have, you know, specialized garden tools with larger handles that are easier to hold. You know, if they want to maintain their independence, a lot of people, you know, you guys know, you know, better than anybody, maintaining as much independence as you can is really important to people. So we do whatever we can to, you know, get to that goal.
And this is a question, speaking of maintaining independence, and when I was going to you, Heather, all those years ago, I was still walking, but it was becoming difficult. And I know people with MS who may have difficulty walking and may need adaptive equipment. Or will you talk to me about, I know that I had an orthotic. Will you just talk about some of those things, the equipment to help people maintain their walking?
Okay. Do you mind if I talk about your case in particular?
No, not at all.
So when we were walking, I believe you had your knee kept extending, hyperextending. So it kept snapping back. So what we did to address that was we put you in a plastic AFO brace, which is basically a plastic brace that goes around your calf and inserts into your shoe. And that was set at a certain angle that didn't allow you to snap your knee back. So it improved that function. It allowed you to walk longer without injuring your body anymore.
And if someone is having foot drop or something like that, speaking of orthotics, how is something you can address with a physical therapist?
Correct. Typically what we'll do is we'll refer you to an orthotist that can make a specialized brace that goes into your shoe that addresses your particular need. So if somebody has a foot drop, they'll put them in an orthotic that is solid and doesn't allow their foot to drop during walking. So, you know, there's all kinds of different adaptive orthotics that can be used to address a variety of different problems.
Okay. And that's exciting. And as we've talked about, you know, I did see you very early on in the course of my disease. And yes, I'm in a wheelchair now, but there's still, I would benefit from physical therapy. And I'm sure there's just so much new equipment and new things in 25 years to come out. So,
right. Well, absolutely. And, you know, typically when you have a progressive disease, we recommend that you see a physical therapist about once a year, just as kind of like a tune-up to see if anything's changed, if you need any changes to your adaptive equipment or orthotics. So it's typically a good guideline is to just a check-in with a PT to allow any of those changes that need to be addressed to be addressed.
And on a very selfish level, and you'll probably understand this, I know that my husband is getting what I'm going to say. Could you repeat that, Heather? How often?
About once a year. And it could just be one visit, you know, just as a checkup type visit, just like you would go to your family doctor once a year.
Okay.
Just to check in and see if there's any changes or anything that needs to be addressed. Because sometimes you may not pick up on changes as easily as someone that sees you once a year.
I think that, thank you. That was very, it's a good thing to hear that, you know, we're not being hypochondriacs or anything
that. No, not at all.
You need to keep up with that.
So Heather, then we talk about physical therapy and everything and the benefits to the patients and everything and how you got involved in, you know, physical therapy and being a physical therapist, but you know, you also teach. And
yes.
we last night, this side story, we met with some students at CMU who were involved in like the public relations program. And it's just like, it's so, I was so encouraged to talk to them, and then just the promise of, you know, of what they're saying in terms of the future in physical or in public relations. And as a marketer, I'm just like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. For you, do you get some encouragement just by teaching of the students of just like, okay, there's a bright future for physical therapy? I mean, just like in terms of what you're teaching and who's doing that, I mean, what kind of satisfaction comes because you're no longer working one-on-one with patients, but you're helping so many more patients through the teaching that you're doing?
Yes, it was definitely a, you know, a switch for me, because I was in the clinic full time for over 20 years. And when I went into teaching, I call it more delayed gratification, right? because when you're in the classroom, a lot of times it's hard. They're stressed out. Students are stressed out. They have a lot of classes. They have a lot of work. But when you see like that light bulb light up, when you are able to, you know, see them passionate about your career, it kind of lights that fire inside of you again to be passionate about your career. So I love it. I love what I do. I think, you know, the students challenge me in ways that I wasn't challenged in the clinic. You know, when you're in the clinic, don't get asked a lot of questions. You get asked questions from patients, but you're not challenged about what you're doing and why you're doing it. And students make you think a little bit differently and kind of make you, you know, reassess, okay, why am I doing this exercise? Why did I give them this? You know, what goal do I have? So it's definitely challenging to me, as well as, you know, I love challenging students. It's a great field.
Yeah, and that, thank you for doing that, because as Dan said, you're changing the course and of so many people's lives, educating and reaching out. So I think that's pretty awesome, and kudos to you. Good job. And because we're getting near the end of this conversation, thank you for giving us your time. But if you were to say like three things that are most important from a physical therapist standpoint to patients living with multiple sclerosis, if we circle back, would it go back to the beginning with stretching, or what's really important for those of us with MS?
One is just, you know, maintaining your activity, however you can, to your ability, and then finding that balance between activity and rest, so not overdoing it. And then the third thing would be just to check in with a PT once a year, just to make sure that you have everything that you need to function at your maximum ability.
Wow. Thank you for summing all of that up. I mean, when we had a great conversation, I mean, is there anything that we didn't talk about that you think is important that our listeners should hear in terms of physical therapy, multiple sclerosis, and exercise?
Just that there's a lot of resources out there that are available to patients if they have any questions. The National MS Society has a great page to look at. And then there's also, I found a really good fact sheet on the Cleveland Clinic website. So that's another really good resource.
And we will make sure to include those in our show notes that will be on our website or where you get podcasts. So thank you so very much for having this conversation with you. And we will see you in a few weeks as we get ready to walk MS here in Michigan. So we look forward to that.
So Heather, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Yes.
It was my pleasure. Thank you guys.
Yeah. And as we end the show, I'm Jennifer Digman and I'm rolling.
And I'm Dan Digman and I'm walking.
But together we are moving forward. Thank you again for joining us for this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. We would love to hear from you, so please share your thoughts on our podcast or answer questions or ask questions you may have for either Dan or me, and we're open books. So please email us at acoupletakesonms@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at @CoupleTakesOnMS or through our website at acoupletakesonms.com. And remember to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. And until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I am Jennifer Digman, and I'm rolling. And he is
Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
But together, we are so moving forward. So we'll talk to you next time. Take care.